One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
What's a timberman want with being a wiki?
Just looking to earn a living, just like any man. Starting new.
On the run.
Guys, welcome to another episode. I'm your host, Katie Hettenbach, and this is Katie Afraidy on the Fangoria Network. Let's get spooky.
Let's get spooky.
Nice. Hell yeah, we're in it now. We're all going to die because of that the smoke inhalation, but it'll be fine. Ah, there you go. It's just to get everyone to relax, everyone to calm down. It's actually just weed. It's legal here. It's fine. But I am so excited to chat with my lovely, lovely guest today. We just met in the hallway.
Yeah, it was a good intro.
It was a good intro. You directed Soul to Squeeze.
I did.
Which was amazing. And this is WM. Oh my God. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure. I've seen a lot of your shows. And
really?
I prefer the YouTube method. I'm just a visual person, so I like to watch it. So I've caught a lot of your episodes, especially recently, of course.
Thank you. I am a big YouTube person, too. I am not a podcast person,
yeah.
Even though I have one, but I'm like, audio people, good for you.
I like to see who's speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can only watch podcasts, or I can only do the audio version if I... Yeah. Know what they look like.
Yeah, I've done it the opposite, and I'm always disappointed when I see them, even if they're like, they're either more attractive or
ugly.
They look totally different.
And you're like, I can't. Yeah,
I have to rewrap my head around what it totally changes my past.
You're like, I don't know how to think anymore. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So, are you a horror fan?
I am a horror fan.
Okay.
Some of my earliest memories of movies were like Return of the Jedi, because I was born in 80.
Okay.
But then also we had HBO, so Friday the 13th,
yes.
Nightmare on Elm Street. All of the ones that were aired like on HBO,
mm-hmm.
which there were so many just really interesting movies in the early and mid 80s horror films. So.
That's awesome. So were any of those... the first movie to scare you, or is that a different movie?
Yeah,
or not?
Friday the 13th really scared me, especially, I remember it was when like Betamax was out,
mm-hmm.
And it was competing against VHS, but we had a Betamax, but somehow I slipped in mm-hmm. that VCR, you know, one of the tapes, and it was the Friday the 13th. It scared
Ooh.
The shit out of
yeah.
me. So I like ran out of the room. But interestingly enough, I got addicted to the horror franchise, and then my dad kind of snuck me into it. And I was looking at like the year, and I'm like, I was way too young. He said it was like a really late like theatrical thing, but it was full of teenagers, and they were like cheering Jason, and
okay.
so it flipped my head, and I'm like, this is now a new way to perceive this,
mm-hmm.
like to be cheerleading this maniac.
Yes.
So yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I love it. I love horror.
Cheerleading is the best way to describe it. So you picked The Lighthouse. Why'd you pick this movie for us to watch?
Because I've been going back and cycling back to like what is considered like the best films ever made, going back to, from the teens, 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is maybe the last horror film for me, specifically horror, that stands among them. Like, mm-hmm. Like if this film would have come out in 1949 and, you know, it would have been, you know, raged about.
Yeah.
It fits perfectly. Okay. So to me, it's like the perfect horror film.
It's amazing. And how would you describe this movie to somebody who has never seen it before?
I wouldn't. I'd say go watch it.
You said, period. Yeah. Go watch it out. Well, if you had to, like, right now, give it a log line, what would you say?
Have you ever hated your boss?
Then this is the movie for you.
You hated your boss and had to live with him,
mm-hmm. Ooh.
In a toilet room. Mm-hmm. And he's abusive and calls you a dullard. And, you know... But then on the other, but then you're also an alcoholic and psychotic.
Yeah.
And you live in this kind of mythological, isolated mm-hmm. hellscape. And you get feces sprayed back into your face.
Yeah. So it's a great time.
It's great, horror. Happy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrific.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So yeah, two lighthouse keepers. Come to take over a shift on a lighthouse mm-hmm. where they have to stay for, I forget how many weeks, months, and they get to know each other.
They get to know each other very well, and then it becomes a shit show. Literally
yeah. Yes.
And I have never seen this movie. Yeah. I missed the theatrical run. I wanted to see it, but I just didn't. And it's been on my list, so thank you for getting it off.
Yeah.
But this is the one movie where I looked for, I'm like, this had to be miserable to film. Nobody yeah. seems like they're having any fun, and yeah. it just seems cold, wet, damp, just miserable.
Yeah.
And you're just not happy
right.
with anything, because it's not a happy, there's nothing really happy. The happiest they get is when they're crazy.
Yeah, when yeah. they're drinking together.
Yeah.
So I've studied, like, how they made the film.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's, yeah, I'm not going to go through the list. You can read it, like, on American Cinematographer.
Yeah.
The director, Robert Eggers, did it deliberately. And I think he was directly asked the question, like, did you ever feel like, you know, this is a lot and you're just pushing through? He's like, that's the whole point. We wanted to put ourselves in an environment that would be hard
mm-hmm.
because that's truthful to what the reality for the people in the film are.
Totally.
And we wanted as much natural, authentic, you know, because they shot in a really bad environment. Like, mm-hmm. it had a lot of natural winds and weather and things that drew, you know, gave them challenges in the yeah. filmmaking aspect, but that's what they wanted. So
yeah, and they got it. Boy did they do it.
Yeah.
And just I was reading something saying that Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe they wouldn't talk to each other.
Oh really?
Because they were so, like, when they first met, because they thought they were their characters, basically, and they would, like, avoid each other. They avoided everybody, and they kind of just isolated from one another, and it yeah. wasn't until, like, they started to rap that they're like, oh, wait, you're actually cool. I just, you're just in that, you have to, honestly,
yeah.
I think it made it better. I feel like if they would have been friends, maybe they're actors, but... You know, maybe there's that, like, oh, you can feel that they have chemistry.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, every actor, even though they may come from the same kind of schools of acting philosophies, their methods can be so different.
Yeah.
And it's and how they engage it. But that's really interesting how they were both on board for this kind of
yeah.
approaching it cold, like the characters are.
Yeah. So what was your favorite parts? Because there's – I was like – I don't know what my favorite part, or even like, there's some very big, like, what the fuck moments.
Yeah.
That I was like, whoa, hey, Willem Dafoe's a mermaid, real quick.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and looks, oh, I've never, like, he played Green Goblin, and that terrified me as a kid.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just scared of Willem Dafoe. Honestly,
He can be as terrifying as he can be, just his natural look. He's like got the Jack Nicholson sort of talent that he was born with, the way he looks. So obviously there's two meme, there's at least one meme part where, you know, where he gets William Dafoe's character, Wick, he gets really offended by the fact that maybe Robert Pattinson doesn't like his cooking. And, you know, he like really, it kind of comes out of nowhere because he's never shown any vulnerability to that point. And, you know, he's like, you know, you're fond of me lobster, ain't you? And he's like, say it, you know, and just has this big breakdown. And then it turns into this curse, like Shakespearean curse speech of something where he starts it at Robert Pattinson. And then it kind of takes a life on its own. And by the end of it, he's almost like, I can't believe I did this and set this in motion. Now I'm afraid of what I've done. And like, that's just a magnificent moment in cinema. Like like that's some of the best, maybe the best like performance. He doesn't blink either through the whole performance.
Said he didn't, that was shot in one take and he didn't blink for 2 minutes straight, which is impressive. Like that's, I've tried that where like if you watch that obviously The Lighthouse or the Netflix show Wednesday about the Addams Family, Jenna Ortega, she doesn't blink like the whole time. And I'm like, I can't imagine, like I would have to cut around me not blinking because I would blink.
The amount of control and psychological discipline it would take to do that. And I noticed that for a brief moment, the camera comes out of focus, but obviously you're not, because they could have CGI'd it back into focus. They could, I mean, they had the technology easy. I mean, anyone can do that probably on After Effects with enough, but they didn't, they left it. The purity of the whole thing is another thing I respect about the movie, that they did everything as close to the, as what it, the philosophy of making it look and actually be shot as if it were shot during an earlier time period. So,
It was, And then the seagull. The seagull. Seabird. You don't kill a seabird. I didn't know that was lore. I didn't know that was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the souls of sailors.
Is it? Okay. But just like, I didn't know that. And I was like, oh, they're just fucking annoying birds.
Right, yeah. They're scary. They definitely have some weapons. I mean, they hunt for fish. And other sea creatures.
And trash.
Trash.
Trash seabirds.
Yeah. I wonder if they probably, do they eat each other? Do they? Does anyone have that info?
We know, but you tell us in the comments below.
Yeah, so... Yeah, I mean, the rewatchability, there's so much to unpack. You're not going to catch even a tenth of it.
Oh, totally. I was just trying to, like, figure out, like, what the general story. I was like, what's going on? They're not speaking. They're, like, it's English, but it's, like, not quite. And it's just, like, you're just, like, they're talking weird. They're talking weird, and it's very Robert Eggers, where you're just, like, I have to probably watch this at least 3 times to fully understand what the fuck I just watched.
Yeah. And it's really a scary movie. At least I found it very terrifying and horrifying. It's everything about it. As I think you mentioned earlier, there's nothing pretty about any of it.
Yeah. What were some of the moments that scared you?
The William Dafoe, anytime he
was on screen. Yeah.
I think my first watch, which was when it came out, Robert Pattinson is like walking up the spiral staircase and tries to get a peek of what the hell Willem Dafoe's doing up there with that light. And he sees this kind of sexual act being done with some kind of creature. That was the first disturbing portion.
Yeah.
The imagery, the sounds, it has enough comedy in it to kind of, that's interlaced into it to make it seem true. So it's obviously the ending is not a pretty moment. There's something about, I know the witch, there was some pecking at some stuff too.
Yeah. And they just have the Robert Pattinson just being pecked away by some seagulls, which is.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I was like, oh, good job, special effects.
Yes.
Good job.
Yeah, it was. Also, they have their chamber pots in their room where they sleep. Yeah. I looked up to see if that was a thing, because why wouldn't you just put it somewhere else?
Yeah, I feel like you'd have like a closet or something. Just put it in a closet. I don't know. Just like you want to.
Really anywhere but where you're sleeping.
Yeah.
I mean, really, in the hallway. Even.
Yeah, anywhere would be good.
But
they're like, now we're going to put it right by my bed just in case. If you got to go, you got to go, you know?
Yeah, but you can just walk out of the room and go.
Yeah, but if you really got to go, you're like, right. I guess right, so. Convenient. It's more convenient.
You know? Again, the food, I don't know what kind of food that they're actually eating other than the lobster at the beginning. So
yeah. But, my gosh. The Willem Dafoe. I always want to say William Dafoe, but it's Willem.
Is it Willem?
It's Willem.
I should know that because my true real name is William Bill. So you would think I would see that.
And then but it's, Willem Dafoe.
So edit all that out if anyone said William. And then also, it's Robert Pattinson, right?
Pattinson.
Okay. Yeah.
It's just crazy to see. Oh, it's also Batman and the Green Goblin are in a movie. So
right.
It's like.
Yeah.
Like, this is hilarious.
There's there's a circle around.
There's the mermaid siren, also just beautiful but terrifying.
Yeah.
Like the siren song and then seeing her. I don't know if they're real. I don't want to know. The ocean is we don't know a lot about the ocean. We know more about space than we do the ocean, and that seems wrong. Feels like we should know about more about the ocean.
The ocean is terrifying.
Yeah, but do you believe in mermaids?
No.
Okay.
But I believe in that what happened in the movie was scary because mermaids, I guess, I mean, there's a variety of folklore that spans across cultures, times, eras, centuries. But the one it can be reduced to that sailors would see a mermaid, you know, be attracted to it. They're, out to sea for so long. And then the mermaid would sing this song and would hypnotize them or enchant them so crazily that they would drown themselves.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I hope that's true.
Women. We love that.
I think in the Odyssey, something like that happens as well, the sirens.
Yeah. It's so creepy and eerie, but also just like, yes, girls, but also stay away from me, because then I think they like eat them, and then they,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's,
I mean,
creepy.
The ocean, the sea, all of the legends out to there, they have so much more texture, I think, than a lot of other myths or fantasies, because it's just, there's this so many creatures, and it's so mysterious, and there's depths, and just islands in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, totally. We're like, oh, this is there's one island that I'm randomly thinking about, the Snake Island. Have you heard of that? It's just an island that has the world's deadliest snakes. They all live on that island, and nobody's allowed on that island because you will die.
Oh, really?
They're everywhere. So everything there can
be. Do they have tourists?
No, you can't. You can't go on the island. You will be either in jail or dead. So.
Okay.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't go on that island.
All right, I'll try.
I'll try to avoid it.
I'll look it up, though.
Yeah, I'll try to avoid it. But I don't know about you. I have only been to a handful of lighthouses, and in them, this is one of my maybe irrational fears. I can spiral staircases, but specifically the ones in lighthouses where they're slat and you can see through them. Fucking terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of heights. So.
I don't mind, but it's when you can see through the stairs and there's a big enough slat where your foot could maybe fall through. I'm like, I'm gonna fall. There was one that we went to on a family vacation, and it was like, oh, it's like 300 steps up. I was the first one up there. Was like, boom, up the stairs, easy. Yeah. Going down, it took me 40 minutes. I was like shaking and I was like, just keep moving. And people kept like stopping and starting in front of me. I'm like, you need to just keep moving, please. Respectfully. Go faster.
So you're not going to be a Wiki anytime soon?
No, I'm okay.
A Wiki is not the life for you.
I'm okay. Thank you so much for the offer. I'm okay. I don't, you know, it's, but you know, you don't know until you know.
Yeah.
And I know. So.
I mean, I'm
thankful for
that. The Lighthouse is like the opposite of a recruiting video. If that's what they're using to sell.
Yeah. They're also really haunted. So it's like.
Right.
I don't want that.
No.
No.
Right.
That doesn't sound like fun.
But it would be kind of awesome, too.
Okay, so you would do it?
Yeah.
Okay, you would. So you would sign up to work with Willem Dafoe?
Absolutely.
Okay, you're like, Willem Dafoe, you can put a curse on me any day.
I would just like to see how it played out, yeah. I mean, I'm going to die anyway, so why not?
Like, I might as well.
Well, that's the problem.
Well, you don't have to kill the bird. I think he could be cursed and fine. But the fact that he killed the bird. Wait, did he?
He killed the bird.
But before or after the curse?
He killed the bird, then the sea changed winds.
Okay.
And then William Dafoe drove it home after he offended his cooking and basically not only cursed him to death, but cursed him to nothing, but to be of the sea and of that. So that seems like dying's like one thing,
but
being
cursed, you're not going to be anything. Dang.
That made it tore me a little bit.
That's such a way to, you know, you could talk about your problems, but you're like, now I'm going to put a curse on you, this old curse, and I'm going to, but then he immediately is like, I regret it.
I think it's because he doomed his self as well, because I think he understood the magnificence of now that he's locked into the same story this guy is. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, there's so many. Like, you would read, like, all the message boards, and there's, like, 15,000 different interpretations on this film. It's like The Shining.
Where everybody has their own, how they watch it. Hear me out. Couldn't they just leave?
Well, the boat is what was their only vessel out, and I believe wasn't that destroyed? Or the axe.
Okay.
Couldn't they leave, like, the lighthouse?
Yeah, they could just...
Well, there's a storm, and that would probably...
Not if a storm's really stopping you, are you really trying any hard enough,
I think he did try to, like take the vessel. But then one of them stopped it. But that's what was the confusing part of the movie, deliberately, was that we kept flipping stories, towards the end, which is a great way to express... psychosis and delusion and cinema they did it very effectively.
Like, I remember this movie, but now that we're talking about it, I'm like, did I watch? I'm like, I watched the movie. I'm like, I have to go back and rewatch it because it's like, there's so much, usually those types of movies you have to watch at least 2 to 3 times to just understand like the basic premise. And then after that, you're like, okay, now I can notice the little things.
Well, yeah, because you get lost in a thought, like, what does this mean? And then a bunch of plot points, flash by, shit, and you're like, okay.
You know what? You just got to, whatever happens, and you just have to be there and ready to walk.
Even prepping for this, I watched it twice, and each viewing, I stopped whenever I had, needed to chew on something for a while. So it took me, I think the movie's runtime is, 150?
Yeah.
Yeah, it took me at least double that each time.
Oh, my God.
Which is fine because I love the movie. Yeah. Just, you can pause it on any frame and be like, all right, I would like to frame that and put it up on my wall.
Is this a type of movie that you like? You're like, oh, I had a hard day at work. I'm going to watch The Lighthouse?
It's so beautiful.
Okay.
It's a magnificent movie.
That's awesome. I love hearing what people like when they're like, okay, I'm going to chill. I'm going to turn on the movie.
Would love to.
Love that. Okay.
I would love to be terrified when I get home from...
But specifically The Lighthouse.
This kind of, of terrifying is something that I can get down with. Okay. So.
Hell yeah. You like to unwind with a little bit of seed bird killing.
Killing obviously is not... that's like the most brutal part of the film in the sense that something innocent dies. The bird was kind of like messing with him.
Oh, totally.
Kind of provoking him.
You're getting annoyed, but he got what was coming to him.
Yeah, I mean, that was a pretty hideous moment, and that you know, obviously he was punished. Yeah, that's another theme I liked about it, is that one person's actions can doom other people's lives because if they don't listen to warnings and stuff. So again, there's just so much packed into it. Again, it's like The Shining has that. There's, I mean, Kubrick did that deliberately. He put in all this stuff that he, because he knew for years people would be rewatching and rewatching and finding new things and building new connections and stuff. But he did it very deliberately. So I feel like this film had a lot of parallels. You know, they go to a place, they're locked there. There's a storm that keeps them there. There's an axe. There's madness. There's strange stairs.
There's somebody naked. There's a creature of some sort that's kind of human. Kind, you know,
Yeah, it's like the spiritual successor to The Shining. It's probably why I dig it so much. I really like The Shining.
I'm also a Shining. Yeah, I need to watch it. I didn't see The Shining parallels, but now I do.
Yeah, I didn't
rewatch it.
It was on the fourth watch. Then I look it up. And
see the fourth watch. See? Okay, I got some time.
So yeah, that's. Yeah, it's impossible to like pick up everything. Totally. That's why I like it.
Yeah. The I have to say this, the fact that they managed, because a lot of people, not a lot of people, I don't know. The question with mermaids is always, where is their hoo ha, their ding a ling, their tot? Like where is? And they answered that, and I was like, wow. I was like, yeah. Well, that makes sense. That makes sense. If you had a hybrid. That would make sense, but
I mean, it's the representation, I guess. I mean, there's definitely a sexual frustration element to this, because
I wanted them to kiss.
They almost did. They were dancing.
I know. I was like, kiss.
And you know, there was some. Yeah, it was interesting. Mm-hmm. They were drinking a lot and blacked out, so we don't know if they did or didn't. So
like, just give it a little peck. Just do it.
Yeah. So that would have been. I wonder what, if they ever consider that, if that's like in one of the earlier drafts of the script, because it seemed like it was really implied that there was like a frustration.
Yeah. There.
I mean, he's masturbating to a little wooden
carving of a
mermaid.
Yeah.
Right. So that's pretty far down the line, I would say, to get to that point to where you find that attractive, any type of like thing, little figurine.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's not porn during that time.
I'm guessing that if there were, that they didn't have any.
Yeah, so like
it was like 1890s, but yeah, it was
like the closest to like
there was probably photography or paintings or cartoons, but it didn't seem like that they.
Yes,
they must have forgot that.
I don't think they're big cartoon guys. You know, they don't strike me as that, you know. I don't know, but I mean, I could be wrong. I don't know. I could be judging him by his cover. I don't know if they drew
cartoon type style back in the 1890s.
Yeah.
Someone probably did in France.
They pull out, it's like everything else is like of the period, and they just pull out like with a comic book, and you're like, what are you doing? That's not.
Yeah.
That would be silly. That'd be silly.
That would take us out.
That would take us out, but also kind of would be, but it's like subtle enough where you don't quite notice until you watch it at least four times. Then you go,
we don't know if it is in there or not, actually. Yeah, at this point.
You know what? You don't get that till the fifth watch.
Yeah, fifth watch. So that'll be the next one. So.
We would like to give a huge thanks to a few of our sponsors. Film Craft Studio Gear, where you can get any gear you're looking for all production needs. Go to filmcraftla.com or you can find them at filmcraftla on Instagram. And of course, a big shout out to Fangoria. Want a copy of a Fangoria magazine? Use code KatieAfrady25 for 25% off. KatieAfrady25 for 25% off.
I started laughing when they're like, what? 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 What?
Yeah.
What?
At first I was thinking some kind of Meisner exercise or something.
Yeah. I was like, oh, you're feeling frustrated. Right. What? What? Yeah. What? Yeah. What? Yeah. What? Yeah. What? You're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that was good. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
And so, again, an interpretation I read is like it was, they were devolving into the seabirds who would just say, what?
Yeah. Mine.
Right.
That's.
Yeah.
Finding Nemo all over again.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. Were those movies related somehow?
the seagull is maybe the only connection. Maybe?
Right.
It takes place in water.
Yeah. I wonder if he made an appearance. And
Willem Dafoe is Scar.
Right. We're drawing new
guys. This is breaking news today here at Katie Afraidy. The Lighthouse and Finding Nemo are related. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. It's all one big universe.
Yeah. Wow. My mind is blown. I need a second. That was great. Wow. Yeah. Shark babe. Ooh, ha, ha. Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure we can set loose a whole number of fan theories now.
Oh, my God. Wow. Yeah. That's crazy. Is there any other part that you're like, oh, that we haven't covered yet, that it's like, this was awesome, or like, this was another like, what the fuck moment?
Yeah, I mean, so
besides the whole movie,
obviously the cinematography, every shot, mm-hmm. The way that they would cut, it's sometimes
beautiful.
Yeah, there's a director called Bellatar, I believe mm-hmm. he's Hungarian, but he did this like slow, like just very cynical cinema, and I know that they copied a lot of the stuff, that the distinctions that made these kind of cuts and looks and the stuff that, you know, I won't say that they didn't steal, but they borrowed from, and you know, it's in there. So it gave it this atmosphere that it was never going to be all right. So there's this, you know, underlying sense of dread throughout that it's not ever going to be nice. And mm-hmm. so obviously Willem Dafoe's, you know, anytime he was on screen mm-hmm. or transformed into anything, the light itself scared the shit out of me.
Yeah.
It was so beautiful. And I looked up like real lights from back then, it is the light, but it's the globe or the Fresnel thing. It was just, it's hauntingly beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
And looks like evil at the same time.
Yeah. It's just ominous. It's just like, it's.
Yeah. Yeah. The sound of the horn.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a cyclops.
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, you know, he found like, you know, a head in a lobster cage.
Yeah.
A trap.
Yeah. yes.
The. He did. Drinking tainted water.
Mm, yummy.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of gross.
Yeah.
Now that I'm reflecting upon, there's a lot of grossness in it. The flatulence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they had teeth, because they didn't seem too hygienic.
Yeah, it's also the 18, you're like, you're living on the water. I guarantee you don't brush your teeth.
Right. That may have been the most unrealistic.
Yeah, they had more jacked up teeth.
Yeah, there was no braces in that era. But I think William Dafoe does. Oh no, I think one of them. I was looking. They didn't correct their teeth for a very natural purpose.
Yeah,
which I think is pretty cool, because everyone wants to be all nice and perfect and beautiful.
Yeah, it's like, but it's also you remember those actors who do have jacked up teeth.
Yeah,
like I always think of Will Ferrell.
Yeah,
his bottom teeth. Look like they're just so jacked up, which is fine.
Yeah.
That's him. But it's like I look at him and I'm like, your teeth are straight. I noticed.
Well, they're at such a status.
Oh where it's like it doesn't matter. You doesn't need to fix them. It's part of him, his look. If he had straight pearly whites, that'd be honestly terrifying at this rate.
And it'd probably be subtractive to who
his charm. His charm. But yeah, same with Willem Dafoe. I mean, again, I think I'm scared. I think I'm discovering a new fear, and I think I am afraid of Willem Dafoe. I think that's a new fear.
He seems, and
he's from Wisconsin, and I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm like,
we should be
friends. But
yeah,
I don't know.
So when he's on screen, I think you know there's the psychosis that starts.
Him on a leash. I forgot about that part real quick. Hold on. Yeah. Robert Pattinson on a leash real quick. What?
Right.
I looked away for 2 seconds and I looked back and I was like, what did I miss?
I think before, because Robert Pattinson was regaling us mm-hmm. of his previous employer, which he let fall into down a machine or something, was about to jam, and then he fell into the log and kind of just let it happen. And the guy called him, I believe, a dirty dog or something. Yeah. And then Willem called at by the end of it, called him. He's like, he was right. You're a dirty dog. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, well, I'll show you who the dirty dog is. Right?
Yeah.
Seems like a reasonable response. Like, I empathize with having a boss that's...
You want to kill? What?
That's not... that's not always acting in a way that's conducive to a productive work environment.
Totally.
Right? That's a common, yeah. I think, experience for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But again, the brilliance of it is that they move... They're like, you have to live with this person in close quarters.
Yes. And, which is hard,
you know,
and terrifying. So, out of 10, what would you give The Lighthouse?
A million.
A million? Beautiful.
Like a million.
Done.
Like, there's not, like, to me, that's, like, the best horror movie I think I've seen for a very, like, long time. I can't think of anything since, again, maybe in the 90s or mid-80s that is, there's a lot of, been a lot of great horror movies, but this is the one. That's why I chose it.
Million.
I'm glad that you... accepted yes. that choice.
I accept it. I was like, let's do it.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.
Okay.
Which I say anything over a 5 is good. Yeah. 7 is like, I don't like 7 yeah. is solid. Like I'll watch it again. It definitely was not what I will normally sit down. rough day at work. Let me watch this. Like I would never turn that on, but it's definitely something that I will eventually watch again and pick up more stuff, and I'm excited to do that for, you know, at least 4 more times so I can actually start getting it.
Well, yeah, it's a lot of just a lot. I mean, at the end of like all of it, it's a couple of gross dudes.
Just some gross bros hanging out, living together. That's what living with men is like.
Yeah, you icky. Don't need that.
Yeah, you don't. Yeah. Don't. I think the So were you afraidy or not afraidy of The Lighthouse?
Afraidy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It takes a lot. Like, yeah, for me to be afraid of something on that level as an adult, it takes something very psychological and horrifying. I feel like it checks all the boxes.
Yeah.
It's graphic. It's scary. It's insane. It has Willem Dafoe in it. Or Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe. And he's scary. He's a scary man.
Yeah.
So that now is the time that we... that you plug yourself and that we talk about Soda Squeeze.
Oh, yay.
So tell my viewers what Soda Squeeze is about.
It's about a man that is very, very sad about his life, and he needs some kind of treatment, and so he decides to do this kind of unconventional treatment that's an alternative to kind of going to therapy for, like, forever.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say a year or 2 years. No, forever.
Forever, yeah.
So he decides to, like, knock it out in a week or weekend. So the procedure basically puts his physical body, his physical, what he is, mm-hmm. we are in real life, into his subconscious mind to process that. And and going through that, obviously, is a psychological nightmare.
Totally. Yes, it most certainly was.
So that's basically it. So it has, you know, elements of, I mean, I feel like it's the second shot of the film. We're like cutting into a big thing of meat. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, we're getting really graphic from the beginning.
Yeah, it was very visceral and like just like, ugh.
Yeah, it was great. Fun.
Yeah.
I love that. And then, you know, there's elements of horror, you mm-hmm. know, hair and tub. There's, like, you know, phobias. There's,
totally.
You know, self-humiliation with the dog scene. Mm-hmm. And there's some very menacing characters who scare them and me. And so that was the point. So it's, you know, it has all the elements of horror. I mean, it stands outside of horror as well.
Yeah.
But it's definitely was, again, a psychological trip.
It very much so was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. You guys made a movie.
We did.
You made a good movie. Like, good job.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
They freaking did it. So what was, do you have a favorite scene in the movie?
See, my nephew likes the game show.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, anytime he's being harassed by any of the people in it, mm-hmm. I find very funny.
That's awesome.
So... I like the disturbing, I guess the hair scene's pretty good. I'm trying to think of, I like the stuff that's bad in it.
Yeah.
Like there's good stuff in it, but I like the bad stuff. I feel like that's the life I live more. I feel like there's a big prank always. Yeah. I think a lot of people are like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah.
And so that to me is like, okay, I get to actually, you know, do that to this character.
You're like, oh, finally I get my revenge a little bit.
Well, it's just a prankster.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like the cutting into the meat and stuff opening. Yeah. And I like, you know, yeah. Well, did you like anything?
I like the whole thing. It was, honestly, the whole, it felt like you could take any of the shots and print them out and put them on a wall.
Good.
Like they looked, like it looked really good. And I love a visually interesting movie. And like it looked pretty, but it also like just like the color and the saturation. Like I really liked that.
Yeah, the DP, Purist Cook, did an outstanding job and worked with me really well. I storyboarded everything. And
really? That's amazing.
Yeah, every shot was storyboarded. Yeah. And then, you know, lookbooks and stuff. Like to get it what it needed to be. Because that was the idea. It was like it had this kind of a picturesque quality. But it also, psychologically, and the events of it were not that pretty through a lot of it. So it was kind of this, you know, dichotomy or this juxtaposition that I wanted to cause that kind of dissonance or whatever, is that everything's pretty and bright and happy. No, it's not. It sucks. Mm-hmm. Not it's terrifying.
It's terrifying. Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot going on.
So
there's a lot going on. Well, that's amazing. And where are people able to watch?
Right now it's on Amazon Prime, depending on what country you are in right now. So.
Okay. Go watch it, or else a seagull's gonna get you. Ooh, it's gonna be Willem Dafoe, and he's gonna yell a sea shanty at you, and it's gonna be a sea shanty. I think would be more fun. A sea curse.
They do sing.
Yeah, I wanted. You know what? I want more sea shanties in the song. I think, or in the movie. I think that's what.
Yeah, but see, that's.
That's a different movie. That's too bright. Yeah, but like a dark, depressing sea shanty, you know?
I'll look that up to see if there is one.
There's gotta be one. I mean, they seem like they were depressed guys. Let's be honest. They're at sea.
Well, that's what he said. That like that's why he wanted them to drink, because it's like that keeps them sane, because otherwise they're gonna get bored and go mad and kill each other.
Well, they did it.
They ran out of alcohol.
And isn't that always the problem? You're in alcohol and you're like, darn, I guess I'll just.
You either need all the alcohol or none of the alcohol.
Yeah, you gotta pick one. Pick one, or you can't do either or.
No.
You can't do either or. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Well, thank you for having me.
So fun. Do you have social media, and can they find you there as well?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram.
Amazing. What's your Instagram?
WM Weichert.
Amazing.
I think it was like an at or something.
Yes.
It's just W.M. Weichert, I think.
Amazing. Easy peasy, lemon squeezy.
Yeah. And Soul to Squeeze is also online as well. Yes. So you can check it out.
Go check it out. Go watch it. And thank you so much for being here. And guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure to like, subscribe, all that jazz on Katie Afraidy on all social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, please. And I always give shitty or good advice pertaining the movie that we just watched, and if you have any, feel free to chime in. I guess mine is don't kill a seagull. I don't know. Or don't live with Willem Dafoe.
Mine's just move the chamber. If you have a chamber pot, if that's your preferred method of excretion, I would say just have the chamber hallway.
Or put like a lid over it, something.
Yeah.
Or get it out of
And also when you're emptying it, check the wind direction.
That's honestly some great advice right there. Yeah. That's some good advice. Well, thank you for the great advice. Yeah. And guys, on that note, we will see you next time. Stay afraidy.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.